Welcome to The Ether. Today is Tuesday, June 7th, 2022. Today on The Ether, Kaleo, Bullish, Bitcoin, Shitcoins, and more. Let's take a listen.
All right, everybody, give me just a second. We'll get this rolling. Excited to get back into this. It's it's been a week, I think, since the last time that we did it. I had a crazy space this weekend that was a little bit different. Apologize to anybody that listened to that, but at the same time, it was kind of cool. Like the entire objective of the space, I mean, it was in the middle of the morning, depending on where you were. Like my entire objective was to get everybody in the space just to go to bed and leave and stop listening. And somehow throughout the night or the morning or wherever in the world people were, space continued to grow and had ridiculous conversation. I think we went on for like 5 or 6 hours. So it was fun. We're in a little bit of a different place this time, though. We're back above 30K again, I think for about the 300th time in the last 10, 20 days. So it's good, man. It's good. Give me one second. I'm going to go ahead and shout this out real quick and we'll get going. One second. And by the way, if you want to speak, I like to use this space just an opportunity as a forum just for people to be able to engage with me, be able to have more direct line of contact than what you might typically be able to otherwise. So it's just opportunity for be able to talk through anything that's happening in any market. I feel like it's a lot easier to do this than it is to get on and, you know, reply through tweets. Because for me, I mean, it's the same type of thing with texting. I am a terrible texter. All my friends know that the best way to get a hold of me is just with a phone call. Like I'm boomer like that. So that's where spaces come so naturally versus just doing everything via tweets. Because like via tweets, it's easy to get lazy. It's easy to fall behind on everything. And here, I mean, it's impossible to, you know, to avoid falling behind, right? You know, if you're having a conversation, you can't delay the topic. You can't, you know, you don't have another excuse. You're fully engaged and you're fully present in the moment, which I really enjoy. But yeah, I see we've got a few requests. I'll bring you guys up in just a minute and we'll get this going. I might even try it a little bit different where I bring up one person at a time and, you know, we just go through exactly what's happening with the market. You know, I'll let you have your moment up on stage, your questions, and we'll see how terrible of a job that I do answering them. So before we get kicked off, just want to go ahead and give a shout out to FTX US. Appreciate them sponsoring this space. They're my most trusted exchange as far as where I go for trading, trading all my crypto. They also have NFTs and stocks on the way soon, which if you follow me, you know, I still love trading my stocks. So excited about them getting that up and running and, you know, really honored to have the opportunity to work with them in this space going forward. So with that, I'll go ahead and start bringing up a few guys. Let's see. Get one person at a time. We'll bring Collateral up here first. What's going on, man?
Yo, what's up?
Not much, man. I can't complain. So what's going on with you in the market? What are you feeling right now?
Yeah, man. I'm just waiting to short Bitcoin, you know?
Waiting to short Bitcoin? How do you think it's going, man? I see you got the McDonald's hat on the fast food punks PFP.
Yeah, man. I think we will see 30,600.
So 30,600. You're going for literally a $350 pump from here, and that is your target to short.
Yeah. Then maybe we will see 24K.
Okay, so you think it's going to be 36, then 36 is that final point where we reverse. Man, I got to ask, like, I guess the question that I have going into that is, you know, why do you think right here 30 point? Because we've seen 30.6, you know, multiple, like I'm looking at the chart just roughly, you know, yeah. You can punch this up into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We have hit 30.6 15 times at the bottom of this range.
Yeah, man. So man,
what
I
is
think,
different about this one?
Yeah, because of the XY, you know, the dollar index. I think it will surprise so many people this week, and maybe that will lead Bitcoin to crash a little bit. I don't know. It's all up to America right now, I think.
So you're looking
at
DXY as your indicator for why this one is different.
Because it is just retesting a high time frame trend, just a simple technical analysis, nothing more, not any indicators, just simple analysis. And I think it's retesting a very important trend, and I think it will make a big move this week. I don't know if it's going to be up or down, but I think we will see something big this week.
But from what you're saying,
hello, can you hear me?
You're saying when it hits 36, it does, or 30.6, it doesn't matter one way or the other. You know, you're expecting it's going to be down. Whatever is happening with Dix is going to trigger that.
Yeah, I'm going to scalp short there. You know, I'm going to try it. I'm just going to scalp it. If it breaks, I'm not going to hold it. You know, I'm going to stop it. It's just a little bit assumption, you know.
Interesting stuff, man. Well, you know, the thing I do like about what you're saying is you've got a game plan, and it sounds like you're going to stick to it. I kind of hope you're wrong because I'm still long bias with everything. But so Goku.
Yeah, I have a long, I have a near long from the bottom. I'm just still holding it. And then when I see the reaction of the Bitcoin, then I will maybe take profit off that one, you know. But I'm not sure. It's a game of assumptions, as you know. By the way, your analysis are the one of the most great analysis I have ever seen, man. Just copying the old charts and they fit like Jupiter,
well, okay,
man.
Okay,
I'm just
man, wait, I'm gonna rewind. It's like, so if you've been holding it since the bottom for this long,
no, just
know,
scalped
again,
long
going
today.
To, you've had 15 other chances to exit at 30.6 if you've held from the bottom of the range.
No, man. I mean bottom of today. Just a scalp long for near.
Okay, so today was just a scalp long at the bottom of this last stop. Gotcha.
I'm just scalping, you know, just scalping and waiting to fill my bags, spot bags, when we see the Bitcoin 24 or 19K. I don't know. I'm just scalping these days.
10-4, man. All right, Goku, what's up, man? I saw you trying to
scalp. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah,
yes,
thank
sir.
You for...
Yes, yeah. Will, it's a bit choppy actually because like it touched the resistance like 10 times, more than 10 times, and it touched the support more than 10 times. So we are still in a range. So I guess we're going to see a really big move this week, okay, because of we almost done 28 days in this range. So I think in the monthly open, we're going to see a really big move. After this price action, current price action, but right now it's looking bullish. Actually, it's pumping while we are talking. So the first target for me, actually, it's like 31,200. After that, we can decide. I'm currently a long on in four positions, to be honest. So I hope it goes. Yeah, that's all.
See, it's fair. I do agree with you where, you know, an issue that I've had throughout the course of this base range is every time that it starts to get above that 31 range, I just get a little bit overly enthusiastic because, you know, I've been holding, been bullish about this from the bottom of the range. So my thing is like, I think whenever you have that and you're not really looking to trade, within the lower range, that's a little bit easier. To get enthusiastic at the top of the
but
we'll see. But I agree with you. I think that it's gotta make a clear cut above that to really have more confidence. But one way or the other, you know, you can listen back to the recordings of this space multiple times. Like, I see it going to the high 30s from this area, and I'm going to be patient for that. That's the game plan.
I mean, if we see a clear breakout for 32K, we can see, to be honest, a run up for 34K, because people will start following. People will start following there.
Yeah, there's a CME gap, you know.
See, my whole thing is at least I think it's about knowing what your strengths and weaknesses are. You know, I had a good run. Trading a little bit on a smaller time frame, lower price range before the dump. But I mean, typically, I think that, you know, going for those small, like the smaller, higher frequency moves you're trying to target, the higher opportunity that you're opening yourself up for making mistakes, at least in my opinion. From my experience. So that's why I am just looking at, you know, okay, it may not be as fun or as sexy as trading every 15 minutes, opening or closing a position. But I think at the same time, I'm avoiding a lot greater of a chance as far as washing away any type of capital utilized toward a position. And, you know, the overall chance, I think, of the higher time frame move for me is a little bit, you know, it's a little bit clearer, I think a little bit of a bigger opportunity when it does happen. And I think that it really does reduce that risk of washing yourself away in the chop a little bit more.
Exactly. Well said.
But then again, I mean, the issue is, it's like, I don't know what to do with all the sleep and stuff that I'm getting because, you know, like whatever you're trading, like the lower time frame moves that you're trying to target, I don't know, man. I still look back into, you know, some of the degen streaks that I've been on and don't know how I survived on the other side of those. It's like, you know, I'd sleep 4 hours a day, and that 1 hour of sleep was just scattered at various intervals. It was never consistent. Like, this is exactly it. So let's see, who is not? We've got EP up on stage. What's going on, EP?
Hi, mate. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. So what do you see going on in the market right now, man? What do you want to talk about? What questions do you have?
I have two ways, to be honest. I'm always thinking about thinking out of box, always with Bitcoin. First, let's say, like, I'm thinking about 35 when you give me like 32.5, and another way, like, to get a takeout from like 25 and go up to 35 at, like, let's say it's weekly recent of 35. So let's say give me like a 35.5 and we will decide to go up to 35. That I see.
But the main problem is that for me, the main problem for me is the equities, the S&P and Nasdaq. Like, we can't see a really bullish movement until we reclaim like 4,300. I think if we go to 4,300, we're going to get a bearish reaction because it will be like a lower high from the highs. So that's a bit problem for the Bitcoin. I don't see it going much higher. So I'm not excited too much, but we can see at least 35K, then we can dump more. I don't know. That's my vision is very simple and like that. What do you think?
Can I say something?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got. Hey, guys, I don't know if you are checking the CME gaps or not, but I think it's one of the most important indicators for me. That I think in January 2022, I told my followers that we can fill the gap on 25K. Now we filled it, and I think there's only one gap remained without filling, which one is at 38. And 38 is like a FOMO point for the people who didn't buy at 29 or 30. So my levels are, if we break 32, we go 35, we fill the CME gap, but if they want to break it, 38 is the last stop, I think.
But it's not always important that to fill the gap. It's not always filling the gap.
It's sometimes always fill the gap after 10,000. You know, before 10,000, there will be some CME gaps that we didn't touch. But after 10,000, 50,000 K, all the CME gaps are filled. And just you can use it as a scalp long or scalp short, but there will be a reaction. There has been always a reaction, you know.
Wait, I got to pause y'all real quick. Could you guys hear anything I was just saying for the last 3 minutes?
No, no, no.
Dude, I completely bugged myself somehow. I was taking out my AirPods.
What did you say?
And out of nowhere, I couldn't hear anything and I couldn't see anything. So I took a complete gamble where, you know, I've done this once before and it worked, but I've done it a lot of other times and it just closes out the space. Where I just completely exited out of the Twitter app on my phone, completely closed the app, got back into it, and then it still says at that point that my account is active in a Twitter space, and it was like, would you like to join this space? It's like, yes, of course I'd like to freaking join this space. I'm the host of it. So I jumped back in, and, you know, the audio, everything else was back, so we're good, but you know, I'm glad to see you guys carried out with some type of conversation, because the funny thing was I kept yelling to everybody in the audience. I was like, do something if you can see me, because I don't get why the number of people that are listening in this are continuing to grow or at least stay the same if this thing was completely rugged. And somehow I guess you guys kept going with it. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's okay. So did you hear what we said?
No, I heard absolutely nothing over the last 3 minutes.
Oh, my God. So bad.
I had no idea what to expect coming back into it. So I apologize if you guys were asking questions or if there was anything else.
No, we just talking, mate.
So,
hey, guys, you know, there will be some coin unlocks for Alice tomorrow, for the Alice. They will unlock lots of coins.
For Alice,
I think.
Are you saying Alice?
Yeah, I think in these conditions, people want to get profit. You know, I think they will give a good scalp short opportunity tomorrow.
I just wanted to comment on what Goku was saying earlier with the S&P 500. You know, the kind of coupling between crypto and the general stock market right now. Personally, you know, unlike you guys, I'm not trading every day. That's, you know, it's all the power to you. I used to for sure do that. I was a quantitative trader by profession and I would just lose so much sleep. But now I'm kind of just a long-term holder. And I'm definitely, you know, bullish and I've been accumulating in these ranges, but you know, just that correlation between, you know, the general stock market and Bitcoin, you know, crypto Twitter definitely seems to, you know, it sounds like everything's on fire, you know, everything's been dropping over the last few months, but you know, just the way I see it, you know, crypto is kind of looking like a leveraged, you know, XLK right now. And I just think it's, you know, when that kind of decoupling happens, and we see, you know, tech long-term trending upwards and, you know, crypto still staying down, you know, that's when I'd get concerned. But, you know, I think right now, you know, we're kind of just following along with this macro situation. And, you know, I'm curious if anyone has any counterpoints or.
So Lucid, I would go with you on that, but you know, my one counter to that, if you're talking about as far as kind of that decoupling where XLK, you know, NQ, QQQ, whatever the heck you want to call it, you know, NDA, like where the tech market's doing one thing and then crypto's doing another. I mean, that kind of sums up to me the summer of 2020, where it was right after the happening and, you know, you should have expected this massive bullish price action in Bitcoin. But, you know, as the tech market not only recovered everything that was washed away during that COVID crash, it recovered it all. It was also starting to get to the point where it was breaking into new all-time highs. So you had this major recovery, not just recovery, but price discovery in the tech market. Whereas with Bitcoin, you know, you had DeFi summer in Web3 that was starting to happen. So you were getting some type of momentum there. But Bitcoin itself slowly was grinding lower throughout the majority of, you know, June, July, and I don't think it was until August, September that it really started to break out of that. The end of August, early September.
It was 21 July, I guess so. Late July.
Yeah, or late July. Yeah, you know, one or the other. So point being, you know, it was grinding down. So there was, you know, a multi-month period where a lot of people were saying, hey, the halving was supposed to fix all of this. That was supposed to be a bullish, you know, fundamentally bullish supply demand type of thing, you know, where we're supposed to see that we didn't see it, right? So I don't think that it's always been quite as quote unquote, you know, a proxy as much as what people give it credit for. You know, the general momentum, I think, of each market, it does carry, but it's not always been an exact mirror, right? And, you know, over the next several months, Bitcoin did outpace the rest of the tech market. But, you know, again, it lagged severely where there were all these other, you know, boring boomer stocks that were taking off left and right while Bitcoin absolutely did nothing and made it, you know, look even worse than the boomer stocks.
Yeah, I think I want to say something, but I think for Bitcoin to go up, we need new players. You know, we need new people to learn about Bitcoin or learn about the crypto world, and they need to enter the space. But they couldn't enter with Bitcoin in the first place. You know, they will start buying dollar. They will start buying from NASDAQ, S&P 500. You know, the money will cycle from these places to Bitcoin, I think. Then this will start the bull market. And I think we need one more bad news like Luna. For example, the last bull cycle started with the corona. Every bull cycle started with a bad news. You know, we had our bad news with Luna, unfortunately, but it was bad for crypto. So maybe in these times we will have a bull run, you know, because we have a bad news.
But the people are more interested in the alts. So the money float and the liquidity all going to alts. That's why the Bitcoin doesn't have a really big moves. Really?
But the new players will start to buy with Bitcoin. You know, for example, think of someone who has never heard about crypto. He or she will not start to enter crypto by buying altcoins. You know,
that's what happened in 2021. That's how we started the bull run, because no one was interested in alts. But later then, people started to buy alts and learn about them. So the money float all went in alts. That's why the Bitcoin lost its price. One of the reasons, I mean.
Yeah. All right, got a couple people with hands up here. I want to see, SSDGM, what's going on?
Hey, what's up? I would say I genuinely don't agree with a lot of techs about, you know, the BTC price here. I don't see anything bullish happening or that will happen in this month. And I have a reason for that, because FTX literally drives the price, artificially pumps it every time we go out over 30K and then distributes above it. And there is another like 35K BTC that, you know, they want to distribute higher than, you know, 29K. So until they're going to drop this whole stack, I don't see, there's like literally no bullish argument that actually valid here. Or maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Like, so far, it played out exactly like I thought it will be.
Well, dang, man. We just need to copy trade every single thing you do, and we're all going to make it, I guess.
No need to copy trade. Don't copy trade. You're going to get broke.
But I just thought you said everything's playing out exactly how you thought it was going to.
I mean, I shorted just one time the 32K, but I'm not. You know, it's one of those like things where I didn't participate in the last leg up because I felt like it was like over excessive move, because like they really try to push the price aggressively on low volume. How can you be bullish when you see something like that? But I mean just sometimes being on the sidelines, just let the price do its thing, it just feels better.
But it's been sidelines since a month, so if you're a range player or a scalper, you could make ton of money even if it's a copy.
That's true. Scalpers probably outperformed everybody in this market so far.
I'm talking about myself, I guess.
All right. Hey, I'm writing down notes. I'm going to talk through a lot of these points here in a bit, but I'm going to give a chance to knock through all the hands we have up so far. So we've had Base G2 the Max with their hand up for a while.
Hey, Khalil. Hello.
Hey, no, I hear you, man.
So I just think historically, like, I think Bitcoin's just going to trade sideways for a bit here. until like the happening happens, and then we'll see 100K.
Bro, what are you doing in the back? Are you like throwing some marbles in a jar? Or do you have something, putting in the air fryer? Yeah,
I'm in the public washroom right now. Like...
You're good, man. You're good. You might have to say what you said again, because I won't lie. Like, I'm a terrible ADHD person, and I
can't hear anything other than marbles at first. But, like, my mind is back to centered on the topic. Go ahead.
Dude, he's got to be a troll. That's so funny.
Okay, so let's see. We got DeFi Randy up. What's up, man? All right, Randy, you lost your opportunity, man. I don't know if it's just a stage fright or if you're also taking a shit, you're just being more respectful.
What the fuck was that, bro?
It could be either. You'll get your chance later. Okay, I know the masked dude, Trading Hobo, has had his hand up for a while. What's up?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, so there's just a couple things I wanted to touch on. So the first thing, something that Collateral Nekmi said, I don't know if that's how to pronounce his name, but I still feel like alts are the play that most new people are trying to make. Like, I still get phone calls from people like, what can I put $100 on and turn it into $1 million? And it's always like, some random altcoin or whatever. That's just my experience. The other question I had for you, Kaleo, I haven't really seen you posting this at all. Are you trading alts at all, or is it primarily Bitcoin at this point?
Dude, I'm trading a little bit of alts, but I'll explain a couple reasons why you haven't seen it. So one, I'm not trading alts nearly as often right now because I don't really see the opportunities there nearly as abundantly as what I did previously, where I think there are a decent amount of short opportunities, but I'm more bullish on Bitcoin right now. I guess, in a sense, I'm a Bitcoin maxi at the moment as far as where I see any type of price action. I think this Bitcoin's going to be bullish that at this moment in time. And, we're seeing it with the breakdown of a lot of these alt-BTC pairs where Bitcoin's going to continue to suck liquidity. I think people are in a little bit more of a risk-off environment, and they're looking for these type of pumps as exits to the alts and hedges into something safer, which is, what Bitcoin is.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's kind of my mindset right now. I think that there are obviously alt seasons, and we had maybe the longest, highest liquidity, most capital ever injected alt season ever recently. And I just think that space needs a little bit of a break, a little bit of breathing room before it's going to have the next major alt season. So I'm being a little bit more patient for that. I don't really like to trade about too many. I don't like to trade.
What the fuck?
I just got rid of that.
Oh my God.
I don't like to post about trades on smaller market cap coins anymore. It's just one of those things where it's just not worth it. Like, when I look at the overall potential for people saying, oh, well, you're just trying to manipulate this and that. And it's like, dude, that's never the case. And I don't think that I've got that type of influence for staying power on those type of markets. But it just, to me, isn't worth it, even dealing with the potential for anybody saying that I'm trying to do anything with any of those markets, unless it's like a top 20, top whatever coin, it just right now, I just don't think the market conditions are really right to be right. Doing those type of swing trades, and especially to be talking about them.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Mate, I think you asked something for me.
Are you talking to me or Trey?
Yeah, the first question, I think, but these people who are calling you like, may I put 100 and make $1,000 are not new crypto players, I think they lost some money or they see the last alt season. That's why they want to go with alts. But a new player, just a new guy who just heard about crypto and wants to get in, will buy Bitcoin first. That's why always Bitcoin goes first, then the alt season comes. And in my opinion, in these days, it's like every day is like an alt season, just Bitcoin dips and some altcoin makes 80%, 90% some days.
But it's like alt season every day there, man, because it's not. you know, where alt season is every single alt is doing that every single day, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding. You know, I know.
I wish it was, but it's just, you know, in the midst of alt season, everything's bullish. It's just a matter of which is the most bullish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, we're seeing on average, going to be coins that end up doing, you know, counter to whatever the rest of the market is, that are going to be the outliers. But, you know, at this moment, the broader market as a whole, you're seeing alts steadily decline versus Bitcoin. Whether Bitcoin's going higher or lower, alts have steadily been declining, at least for the past, really the past couple months now at this point.
Yeah, but as I told you, some altcoins just doing their alt season. But it's hard to catch the full moment, you know?
Yeah, I caught the Tiger King moon. I made like 240,000 off of that fucker last bull run, and that was awesome.
The Tiger King moon?
Fuck yeah, dude! Look it up. I literally caught that at the bottom.
A BSC shitcoin.
But you know what? No, it's not even BSC. It's Ethereum, and now they've got a this major like Minecraft like deal going on, which is kind of different, but. It's got the network to still do the same. That's what's interesting. And it was in the top three meme coins, including Doge, you know, the Shiba and, you know, Tiger King. But it literally, like, I mean, I put 2,000 in, I walked out 250,000. So I got a good run on that one.
Well, it's impressive, man. It still impresses me how many random shit coins like that existed out there.
But the thing is, heard of. Well, dude, it's not just that. It's the teams. They possess so much power in the back end of when these, you know, rounds of coins that are released. It's like you got to let the fucking team's coins just get exhausted out before you can really go back and then see your marketing efforts as an independent investor see value in that because they'll just dump on you.
David, I disagree with you because typically, especially with a bunch of these shit coins, by the time the team's supply that they can dump is exhausted, the coins have zero market cap left. There's no liquidity because the team's already took it all.
Sure.
There's nothing left there that anybody.
It's only going to be 1% of coins, you know. But you got to look at what coins have the platforms and the reach, the trust. You know, the original investors are important too because that's what started that whole momentum. So. I guarantee you that coin's going to go back to the exact same price it did last year, 100%.
By the way, Bitcoin is pumping while we are talking.
Yeah, ready to take profit.
No, I'm telling you, because you can see what they're doing. They've got this Minecraft influencer. Her name's Aphma, APHMAU. She's got Walmart deals. She's got fucking crazy shit. She's going to end up playing the game, and it's going to bring millions of users to it. So, you know, the team itself is actually doing the right thing with the coin. It's just, it's a lame name. I feel like it caps itself because it puts itself in a market, can't really get out of that, but you can still make a fuck ton of money on it. Excuse my French.
No, you're fine, man. I think that's a fair enough comment. It just is, you know, my whole thing that I'll say toward anything like that, when you're talking about, well, they've got this or that influencer, their Twitch streamer, they're going to definitely, you know, I've heard that same plot a million times.
I mean, dude,
and a million times it plays out to where, you know, the majority of the time, 99.999% of the time, it's going to die. And like, I'm not saying that I'm rooting against the shitcoin that you were invested in there or looking to.
No. Hey, you got to know when to get out.
There's that one gem that sticks out, right? But like, you know, I think the mentality of getting married to a project like that happens a lot of the time, not necessarily where you are, because it sounds like you got out at a good point, but it happens whenever you're holding a bag from the top that you got involved with.
I mean, I jumped out like probably over 50 times, you know? But I just bought 25 of these WAG dies at like 0.4 or 0.04 ETH, and I just murdered it. I mean, we're looking at right now, I think the floor is at, you know, 1.5 ETH. It already hit there earlier and it went back up. And I mean, you're watching like 1,300 people gather around a bonfire. I know what I'm talking about and what I'm looking for. What I'm saying is it's more likely on a shitcoin
that has a lot of trust in the original people involved that caused the momentum to see that 100x gain again, versus like trying to look for a Matt Wallace or a Joe Perry's that's like, hey, go on to Bluezilla and get some ETH pad or BCS pad and, you know, stake that shit and try to get on the fucking IDO. Like, you're going to have a better, you know, chance putting $1,000 or $2,000 and working with the marketing team, making some money. But you got to make those pulls when you see it have the 100% gain. You got to secure your ultimate investment. And that's what a lot of people get caught up not doing in shit coins, is they don't know when to pull out and get a little bit of their money back. So it's at least a neutral pull if they lose anything.
That's fair enough. Hey, I want to welcome up Yuppie to the stage. What's going on, brother? Been a long time.
Yeah, been a while, man. Good to see you up here. I was just curious about what's got you bullish on Bitcoin and shitcoins. And are you talking long-term, like 2 to 3, 4, 5 years? Or are you talking short-term, like 3 to 6 months?
Okay, you cut off like the first 10 seconds, but I think I got the essence of what you said, basically. Like, I was getting a phone call right as I asked the dude. I don't know if you've ever had a phone call when this happens, cuts off. But you basically asked what's making me bullish and what's the time frame, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Man, I'm just bullish right now for, you know, unfortunately, I am not bullish over, you know, for a new quote unquote bull run just yet. But I am bullish for a bounce. I think there's opportunity for relief to the high 30s for Bitcoin. And, you know, I think a lot of shitcoins and other stuff could ride the wave with that. And, you know, it's something that after 2.5 months of straight down, that is very welcome. I think gives a lot of other people opportunities to be able to capitalize on some type of relief, maybe de-risking some bags they haven't had the opportunity to yet. As far as where we are in the cycle, I think that, man, I don't think we've seen the worst of it yet. You know, as far as where we're going in the next decade, crypto in general, I think is going to be the highest growth sector out of any market that's out there over the next decade still. So, you know, it's one of those things that, again, it all goes back to time frame at this moment, you know, for the next couple of weeks.
Bro, can you say more bullish stock
profit right now?
What's that?
I'm going to take profit from my longs, and I'm going to start shorting Alice, you know.
All right, man. Well, good luck. You told me 30.6 was your short point, and
yeah, 36, 37, 35, 36, 37. My Fibonacci here. I'm just a simple technical analysis, you know, not so much indicators, nothing more. We are making lower highs, lower lows, lower highs, lower lows, and this is going to be our last lower high, I think.
Well, best of luck for you, man. Best of luck. I hope that squeeze you, liquidate you, and that it's time to come up.
Oh man, I will just stop.
I think we got that 32.
I'm gonna stop it at 32. Yeah, not gonna hold it until liquidated, you know.
Did you guys see Pelosi buying those calls?
But I told you we are going to pump right now, and we pump.
Yuppie, you were saying the Pelosi call options, are there new ones that are out?
No, she just bought some. I think it was like yesterday or the day before it came out. It was like Microsoft and Apple, I think. And they had an expiration for around end of June. So I'm interested in that too.
Wait, she bought short term?
Yeah.
The call options were like a month.
Yeah, they're like a month or 2 months out.
Dude, that's amazing. It aligns perfectly with kind of my expectation for what we're going to see with bullish momentum. I think June, the rest of June is going to be a good month. Could be until early July, but that gives me that much more confidence.
Can I say a comment, please? And I want your opinion, Kalori. I have a comment on Luna 2. Okay. The TFL now has like $200 million worth of Luna. And the current market of Luna now is around like 900 million, which means TFL has more than 20% of the market cap. And why would they do that? Are they going to pump it, or What do you think about that?
I mean, I don't know, man. I think I'm just done with everything Luna is what really? I am. Dude, hey, could there potentially be a resurrection with that eventually one day, maybe? But it's one of those things that any project that goes through that much bad PR, that big of a hit,
yeah,
it'll never be what it could have been otherwise.
And yeah, sure, of course, yeah.
I just think there are a lot more issues than just, you know, honestly, with the 200 million they have in it, it's probably just because, you know, that's, I'm not sure, man. I'm not an expert with all of that, but I don't know. It's one of those things I just don't, I think they've lost a lot of trust.
Yeah, exactly.
Across the community. And that's one of those things that's going to take multiple years of pain to be able to grind through to really have the opportunity to be able to gain back any type of substantial momentum to overcome any of that. And even if they do, I still, again, I won't
trust them.
I see a really hard time for them really being able to get back to anywhere close to where they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just me.
What do you think about the current price action?
Dump it.
Wait. Okay. What's your question, Sam?
Hello, guys. I really appreciate all the speakers here. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Big shout out from Ukraine to you guys. And my question is, do you feel like we might see a meme coin season soon? Because it's actually what happened with the previous bull end on the last year, I guess, on the May. So do you believe that we might see actually the meme coin season? So like my idea is that people will try to make it all back in one trade, and and we might see the meme coin season. Do you think?
I don't know. Personally, I'm going to just go with a no on that, man. I mean, maybe. But again, I think the definition of these seasons, my definition might be different than yours. You know, there will be coins that are outliers throughout the course of this, but as far as a season where a million different new meme coins are created and all take off, I just don't necessarily see that happening, because I think that we're still at the point where it's more of a flight to safety, right? Where people are avoiding risk rather than going risk on. And I think that that's what it takes a little bit more to really have a true meme coin season, is a little bit more of a risk on environment. I just don't think that we're there right now. I think even as Bitcoin goes higher, you know, repeating what I said earlier, that it's sucking the liquidity out of even a bunch of these alts where they're either staying the same or still even grinding lower as Bitcoin's going higher.
Yeah.
And if we're not even seeing that across some of the major L1, you know, blue chips, and it just is difficult. Hey, I've been wrong on this before, right? But personally, I'm not extremely bullish on a short-term meme coin season just yet. I think we might have to wait a little bit more for that.
For me, from a technical perspective, for me, when we see the macro range, macro high time frames, it's impossible to have a very good price action. To be honest, we can't have a bull run now or a mini alt season because of high time frame. Technical analysis, also with equities, also the S&P and Nasdaq. So for me, if I see a inverse uptrend, we can maybe on the high time frames, maybe we can see a bull run. But right now, it's impossible. That's all. Sorry for my English. I hope you get it.
Guys, is it okay if I just butt in and give my view on the market?
Sam, I won't lie, man. I could not understand. Can you say that one more time?
I just said, is it all right if I just butt in and just give my view on the market for a minute? I didn't want to interrupt anybody and talk over everybody. I couldn't really get my voice across. But
I'd love to hear it. Let's hear it.
I just want to know your view, Kaleo, if you may. So basically, I've got a scenario that are coming to the end of a bear market since November last year. and it's based off the halving cycles, whereby the distance between the start of each halving cycle to the next bear market bottom is currently from the previous cycles, from both, was it the 2014 and the 2016 halving, 2012 and 2016 frame, is at the bottom.
Sam, I think you're rugging yourself a little bit.
I haven't seen much on crypto Twitter regarding sort of the halving cycles and stuff, but the sort of how I've charted everything is it's suggesting that if we are repeating what we've done in previous cycles, is that we are in a bear market and have been since November, and that the bottom will come in that time zone, and basically in the next 2 to 3 months, and then a new cycle to the next halving will begin.
Sam, I actually do agree with you on that. You know, I'm a traditionalist when it comes to the halving cycle and around. You know, I think that I'm more of a time-based trader than anything else as far as momentum goes, based on, you know, that whole ideology with the halving approach. And that's why, another reason why I think that there might be a solid chance that we haven't seen the real bottom yet. We might end up getting a capitulation wick a few months down the road below, you know, this 30K support that we've seen. But, you know, the plus side of that is that from the bullish side of things, I think that that would represent a real true bottom as far as the market cycle. So I think that we are getting closer to it. And, you know, I think it just makes sense as far as the, you know, if I had my BLX chart pulled up here, the Brave New Coin Liquid Index that has the larger history on TradingView you can look at. And, you know, if I look back at my old halving, whatever cycle, halving reward error price analysis, it's typically in Q3 that you do see the true bottom, the reversal. And we just entered Q3 of the halving. And when I say Q3, basically I'm dividing the halving into 4 different quarters, right? So we just entered Q3 and it's marked by, you know, eventually hitting that bottom and then a more gradual climb higher from that. And, you know, in Q4, you start to see a little bit more of a recovery, and it's not really until Q1, Q2. Q2 is typically where we've seen all of the all-time highs and that type of stuff for each cycle. And each one of these quarters are about a year long, so it might be, you know, another 2.5-3 years before we see that next all-time high. In my opinion, 2.5-3 years isn't that far away. You know, there are a lot of people that feel like, man, if it doesn't happen in 2.5 or 3 months, Bitcoin's boring, it's dead. And I just disagree with that. You know, if you're getting a new all-time high and like major rapid growth every 2 or 3 years, you know, like the asset that you're holding is not boring.
I couldn't agree more. And that brings me to like my plan for the next few months for me is just accumulation. That's all I can really say is that if you look at a lot of altcoins, historically in bear markets, they would trace anything between 80% to 95%+. And quite a few have already done that. Quite a few are already 80-90% down from their highs. And for me, it's just a process of accumulation now for these next few months. I have too many variables that are suggesting that a bottom. I agree with you. I don't feel the bottom is in yet. I think there's still one more wave down to go.
Yeah, I agree with you, mate.
Kallio, can you check the Luna 2 right now, please? Holy fuck.
I'm checking Bitcoin. Bitcoin's taking off, man.
Yeah, I'm watching it. I'm watching it, yeah. Space. Holy fuck.
yeah, man. Just so wait. 31,700 is the last stop, but, I think. Hey, so yeah. Then I will stop my
scalping. Stop being bearish, man.
No. Just wait for 31,700.
Now, the second Bitcoin stop here is also pumping right now, which means if the Bitcoin dominance is pumping, the average alt right now is dumping versus Bitcoin. So again, Bitcoin with this pump is absorbing that liquidity on its strength. It is absorbing the strength of everything else. And
that's what we need for a new season.
Whenever you open a space, we always pump. I don't know why.
It kind of is true. It really does happen.
Yeah, he is pumping, man. He is pumping. He
you
knows
know,
where
to
buy.
Keep the space open 24/7 to make sure that yes. It stays that way. Lucid, what's up, man?
No, I was just saying, just back to your point on alt scene. I was just curious, in your perspective, how you relate NFTs to altcoins or just like shitcoins in general. Just because, like, I mean, I know it's kind of played out. We've been talking about, you know, Goblin Town and WagDai, you know, in spaces for the last week or so. But, you know, do you think those are just outliers, or do you think that NFTs and shitcoins can also be uncorrelated with each other in terms of when they pump? Because, you know, this is a time when people are risking off and et cetera. So I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that.
I think we've already seen that NFTs and shitcoins aren't nearly as correlated as I ever thought they would have been. Like, if you would have asked me, you know, early 2021, is the NFT craze / late 2021 as it took off, if it was going to remain completely, if there were going to be pockets that would be stronger and more insulated than the average shitcoin, I would have laughed. I honestly didn't think that the market was quite at the point of maturity that it needed to be for that type of insulation quite yet. But I think one of the things that is a little bit of a different driver is the fact that, you know, they are non-fungible tokens, right? A lot of it, you know, NFT holders associate their NFTs with their identity, which is huge. You know, a lot of people don't want, you know, they don't want to sell their identity. And it's a lot easier, I think, as far as community. And, you know, it's a completely different objective than the average shitcoin. And, you know, I think that NFTs are a little bit more insulated as a whole. The only issue that you have right now that you're fighting is obviously saturation, market saturation with the total number of projects that are out there, right? So it's impossible with how easy it is right now to release a 10K PFP project to be able to keep each and every single one of them at that major floor price that a lot of people want or expect. So what happens, I think a lot of the capital does end up consolidating down to some of those major blue chips, provides them a little bit more insulation. And, you know, I think that a lot of those are going to end up withstanding the course of this bear market. And actually, as far as where I am with where I see NFTs in their next place in the next bull market, so I think NFTs are going to be by far the play the next bull market here in the next couple of years. You know, I kind of see the NFT market and what we saw with the ICO market back in 2017 being really similar, where, you know, after 2017, there were a lot of ICO coins that ended up dying out, and a whole new wave, the next gen of all these L1s, the next gen of, you know, real implementation of DeFi, and everything else ended up starting to take over. So I don't think that we've seen that final form of NFTs quite yet, but, you know, I think that it is coming, and we're going to see a handful of survivors from this market and from what's happened with it. But I do think that we'll get another evolution of that coming up here in the next couple of years, and that, you know, it'll be one of the stronger. I think there'll be more FOMO in the NFT market, and, you know, as much, if not more, liquidity in the NFT market than there is in the average shitcoin market. So it'll be really interesting to watch that grow. And, you know, one other thing on that, where I think it makes it a lot easier to do, and we're seeing some type of regulation starting to happen in the space, some type of precedent starting to happen in the space. But the less regulation there is, the more room there is for growth, quicker growth, quicker expansion. And right now, that's where NFTs are. You know, there's not nearly as much oversight as there is even the shitcoin market.
For sure. No, I totally agree with your point there. And I'm just curious, you know, if, you know, I know that, you know, the next couple of years, I think, you know, NFTs are definitely going to be, you know, more ever present throughout the space that we're in. But, you know, do you think we're moving past, you know, PFP, you know, no utility, no roadmap type projects like we've seen recently? Or do you think we're moving towards, like, you know, membership, you know, real life utility, that kind of stuff. Because that's kind of stuff that I'm trying to build in with my project. I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that as well.
Man, I think it's going to be a little bit of everything with that, right? I mean, but overall, I do think that the majority of the evolution in the space will probably come geared towards some type of utility layer. And I'm not sure exactly what that layer is. If I knew exactly what it was, then it'd be a lot easier to be able to capitalize on that, I think, heading into it. But, you know, that's not to say that the no roadmap projects can't survive and thrive still, right? You know, if there's a way that they are actively engaging the community and actively able to grow it, you know, you don't always, you know, I think that a lot of the time, a roadmap is a death nail to a lot of these projects because they realize they either, one, they run out of capital to be able to actually follow through with what they have on the roadmap, or two, they've realized they made promises they can't keep. And the more times you push back and delay and break promises, the more times that people are upset within the community and want to leave it, right? Which takes away value from the project. And, you know, at that point, it's kind of a sinkhole as far as who's the last man standing. They're left with their bags. And if you don't necessarily have any of those objectives that you clearly have to meet, then I think that, you know, it does provide another layer of insulation to some of those other projects that don't necessarily have that utility promise.
By the way, do you hold any NFTs? Kaleo, I'm talking to you, bro.
Sorry, man, I was muted. I started talking, I was. But no, not as many as I'd like, man. You know, my experimental project that I released back in October, that Freemint, was Wonky Stonks, where, you know, completely different than the average whatever PFP project. And I did that because, you know, it kind of related to my style with the trading and everything else. And, you know, the floor price is super low with it right now, but I'm fine with that, man. It was a free mint, and it's something that the community is still active, still vibes, still ends up hanging out. And like, you know, that's my experiment as far as that side of it, is just continuing on with the no roadmap type of project. But outside of that, man, I have had so much FOMO watching from the sidelines a bunch of the different NFT projects end up soaring. And my vision right now for what I'm hoping to do, and it all depends obviously on what the market does, is kind of following through with that, you know, multi-year mentality and mindset with this, where I don't want to buy the top of a bunch of these, but identify blue chip projects that I still think have the opportunity to really bounce back. And hopefully there will be a point where the NFT market does enter into more of a bear market. And, you know, a bunch of these, even the bigger blue chip names, end up leading down another 80% from where they are right now, which I think is extremely possible. And I, you know, that's where I really want to step in and just start sweeping a bunch of these different floors, because I think, you know, we will get that opportunity. I'm not in a rush to really get there.
I think it's still early
on. When everybody else thinks the NFT market, at the point everybody claims the NFT market is completely dead, is when I would go ape shit in the NFT market.
Exactly. Because we're still early on the NFT, like same of the same crypto in 2017 or something like that, the NFTs right now. So it's still early about it.
All right. So we got a couple hands up. Anton, what's up, man?
Hello, guys. Hello. Hope you are all doing well. First, I would like to ask, Kaleo, do you speak Greek by chance?
Do I use what?
Do you speak Greek by chance? I was looking.
I do not know.
Well, I was looking at your profile and I was like wondering, because you have written something on Greek, and that's why I want to ask. And secondly, well, guys, I think I hope as well we are. This will be like actually my first bear market. So I just got involved lately in the cryptocurrency. So
I hope you survive.
I'm gonna survive for sure. I'm gonna be here. I won't be leaving anywhere. So I hope this is. I believe actually this is not the bottom, as I have seen, and I hope we get another lower low on BTC so we can start then accumulating. So yeah, what you guys think.
No, don't say bearish stuff in this space.
Well, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah,
I
what
just
the hell,
have
man?
To...
The name of this space is bullish. You're gonna make me start saying that.
Well, I'm sorry, guys. I just need to.
We are
see
all
a lower low, so we can start accumulating and.
Yeah, we are all bulls.
Sorry, that's
Kaleo is our head of bulls, you know.
Kaleo, by
collateral,
chance,
you literally just said a minute ago that you were shorting $30,600 Bitcoin.
Yeah, I was going to.
I have a short. Yeah, I have still in short, but I'm a bull. You know, I short the market, but I'm an all-time bull. You know. Yeah, I still in that short. If 31,700 breaks, I will close it. If not, continue.
It's 31,700.
Yeah, 31,700. My second
stop
both here.
Y'all out by the end of this space. All love though.
It's risky to short the pump. At least you need to wait for distribution or something like that or consolidation.
A good point to short, guys, if I may say, is 32,472.
Yeah, my strategy is like I have longed some altcoins from the bottom, today's bottom. Then I just took some profits of them and then I start shorting Bitcoin and some alts here. But as I said, they're just little size. You know, I can add up them to two or three times. But I will stop it if 31,800 broken, you know. But I will add up one more time there. 31,700, 31,800. I will add up one more time. If broken, I will stop my shorts, but I have still two altcoin longs from the bottom. So it's I think I should take that risk, you know?
What do you think, Kaleo?
No, I was going to say just the only issue I have with that from the way I'm looking at things, man, again, it's, you know, if anything in this market, you want to be long Bitcoin and short altcoins. Like altcoins are what are bleeding down versus Bitcoin.
What do you think, Bitcoin?
You know, Bitcoin is, I think, the easiest one to trade in this market. I always trade Bitcoin, but it's up to time. You know, for example, tomorrow, because of Alice's news, I'm going to short it. I'm going to try to short it, you know. That's why I'm shorting that altcoin right now. It's up to time, you know. Sometimes I long altcoins, I short altcoins, but generally I play with Bitcoin.
That's fair enough, man. All right, we got a couple hands up. Nazim, what's up, man?
Hello. Thank you for giving me that mic. I have a couple of questions. Number one, like, is Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies is correlated with S&P and
can't hear you. I don't know.
Hey, Nazim, I won't lie, man. Your mic is terrible right now. It sounds like you're in the middle of a hurricane.
Yeah, I think you're in the street. You can't hear.
So if you could step into a space where it's a little bit quiet or whatever else and jump back up, I'll give you another opportunity to speak here in a minute. Until then, I'm going to go ahead and give Grillcoin the chance. What's up, man?
What's up, Kaleo? How are you, man?
Hey, I'm good, man. I'm just sitting here thriving, watching Bitcoin pump from the start of this space until now.
Are you long, by the way?
We manifested it. What's that?
Are you long, by the way?
Oh, of course, man. Of course.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah, this space has been, that's what happened, man. I woke up this morning, I looked at the chart, I was looking over there, and I was like, I need to manifest some bullish price action, so I'm going to do a space. Somebody brought it up earlier. I feel like every time that I end up posting a space, somehow, at least during the space, during the hours that I'm on with the space, that we're talking, the market pumps.
So you should stay forever.
We are manifesting higher prices, and I feel like I've got to do this until we break above, like, 30.
Until we all become rich.
We just got to stay on. Do a bid, like a complete binger of the next 12 hours straight, get this above 33, and you know, that way we can go ahead and just be clear for liftoff in the high 30s.
It makes me laugh because literally like 2 weeks ago there was only spaces and you were there also, Kaleo, you were organizing those spaces. And you all of them were like talking about bleeding market. Well, we're still in this range, but seeing today in this space, people talking like they're big brains and thinking we're resuming the bull run makes me kind of scared and of all of you of holding, mostly if people recently entered.
No one said we're going to go to 50K, but...
at Goku. but I like the conversation of NFTs you brought up, Kaleo. That's a nice perspective. That's pretty cool. And I wanted to know your perspective in the Solana NFT and other, like, what's your other altcoins you're watching and buying the dips right now for the next bull run?
Hey, you know, here's my take on Solana NFTs versus ETH NFTs. I kind of see ETH NFTs as like the Bitcoin of the NFT market, where, you know, just a little bit safer, a little bit, you know, less prone to some of the market, some of the market momentum, if, you know, you're, but the Solana NFT market, again, with it, like, dude, the thing is, I'm more bullish on ETH right now over the next 12 months than I am Solana. That's not to say over the next 2 or 3 years, but at least over the next 12 months, I'm more bullish on ETH than I am Solana. And I think Solana, there's a decent chance that, you know, it does retest back beneath $20. And you do get opportunities to buy way lower. And, you know, again, they're just two completely different ecosystems. They'll pump at different times. And I'm not really in a rush to either at the moment. I'm going to be patient, wait and see. And I may always be wrong. There's a chance of that. Like, we don't have, that's the thing that kind of sucks with the NFT and, you know, market and trading it. We don't really have the precedent for it. You know, it makes sense to me that a bunch of these are going to end up, you know, the blue chips are going to go down 80 or 90% from their all-time highs as far as the floor prices are concerned. But we don't have anything that proves that that's going to happen. So I'm on the sidelines, and at the right time, at the point where everybody thinks the market's dead, whether it's Solana, whether it's ETH, whatever, like, that's where I really want to go hard and heavy into them. But until then, I'm content just, you know, being boring and being boomer and trading Bitcoin and stacking sats and setting it back to the high 30s.
Can we talk about Bitcoin, please?
I'd love to, man. I'd love to.
Don't FOMO.
So no, man. I mean, like I said, like that's the purpose of this space right now, doing it. We're going to send it back up into at least the mid 30s during this space. So far, since we've started, we're up $1,500. So we're up, let's see, 31.3 over 29.8. We're up 5%.
We pumped 5%. Yeah, we pumped 5%.
We manifested 5% so far since the start of this space. Like, that's not bad for any amount of time for any space. So I will take it.
Yeah, that's the best one.
I'll celebrate every little win as we go. Like, if we could do just one space per day with a 5% pump every day, we're going to be over $1 million before the end of
finally, the moon boys the dream. Summer.
Charlie, the daily candle looks really nice actually today.
I think we've got to test the 32K right now.
31,800. Let's see.
Yeah, man.
No, it's 32.
Yeah, no problem. If it breaks, we close short. If not, we go to the lower lows.
Can you hear me, guys, or not?
Yeah.
Okay. I have one question for you, Kaleo, actually, regarding the Solana case. It's gonna go up because, you know, like in the, you know, in this kind of bear markets, because I think we can all agree that we are in a bear market actually at the moment. Alts, they bleed way harder than Bitcoin. But you know, the thing about Solana, you know, like especially the last day, the last dump, everyone was talking about where are you going to buy Solana and stuff. And if you see Solana compared to other alts, you know, in 1 year's perspective, you know, it's still, if you compare to how it was 1 year ago, it's still outperforming a lot of alts. So in a matter of perspective, that can be a good thing or a bad thing in the way that there is still a lot of fucking room to fall from where we are right now. So what is your approach, or what do you think about in the case of Solana, if you want to start accumulating?
I'm waiting until, if I can stack Solana under $20, I'm stacking all the Solana I can. I think 15 to 20 is my ideal stacking range. for Solana. Stack it 15 to 20, sell it 1,000.
Oh, yeah. 17.9 or 24.8, I think the bottom for Solana. 17, 40, 24, maybe.
Dude, those are really specific numbers.
Yes. But trust me, just note the number. 17.87.
Okay. I'm just going to stack in that range, man, and we'll see. I mean, again, it's one of those things where it's a little bit of a gamble. See, you know, if it's
yeah, it is a gamble.
Now, if we haven't gotten that, then we may not get those lower prices. But I think that, you know, hopefully my goal is we'll get those prices in the next 6 months. We'll be able to stack that low and we'll be able to reap benefits a couple years down the road. And that's the thing with a lot of this stuff, man, is like, you're going to have opportunities that present themselves. And, you know, that's one of the amazing things about a bear market versus a bull market and the mentality of trading in a bear market versus a bull market.
Yes.
In a bull market, you know, you are constantly, you have FOMO if you're not in a trade 24/7, because there is always something that is absolutely ripping and always something that's absolutely mooning.
Yes.
In the bear market, you've got a little bit more time to be able to be selective and to be picky about entries, to be picky about the positions that you're in, because you're trying to preserve capital and you've got a longer term mentality with the way that you're approaching investments. I don't think that the same type of, you know, constant 24/7 swing trading is necessarily going to produce the same results that it is in up only easy mode.
Yeah, it's very hard to survive in a bear market for a lot of people.
You know, for sure. I mean, bull markets are way more stressful in that way. I mean, bear markets is this moment to accumulate and chill, you know, have your mojito and just chill on the beach.
Yeah, man. So we, you know, we're manifesting the bullish price action. We're back above 31.3. And dude, that's, you know, for now, again, I'm a Bitcoin maxi. Death to all the alts. Send them to zero. Send Bitcoin to a million. That's, for now, that is my bias. And that's what I'm going to stick to.
I hope we get a breakout of 32K and holds above. That would be awesome, to be honest.
We teleport to 35K if we break 32.
Yeah, we're going to fill the gap, all the gap towards 30 or 35, I guess.
Yeah.
See, dude, that's my thing. I'm just waiting for that 20% day. You know, so far we've had these little 5% moves, you know, maybe 6 or 7% a day. But I really think the clear-cut move out of this range, we're going to see something around like, you know, 15, 20%.
Yeah, 15, 20.
It might happen, yes. Maybe. Directed to 50K, it will be great.
The amount of liquidity is, unbelievable.
50K, then 19K. What about that, Kaleo? 50, we pump to 50K, then we dump to 19.
50, then 19. Man, you know, I guess I wouldn't be too upset about it, because there's a lot of opportunity that can be provided in any relief bounces that are higher than, you know, what I'm expecting with. But still, I that's a little bit more ambitious than what I'm looking at right now. I'm not like Chimp Zoo or some of these other guys that are saying, you know, we're going to start the new bull market right now, that it's bound to happen. And no matter what the price is, I'm going to continue to preach the exact same thing over and over again. Like, you know, yell out that, okay, no, I'm not there right now. I'm in.
They are the best indicators, man.
Where I'm going to be extremely bullish, and I'm going to pump it back to the top of the range, but I'm not going to be too greedy past that. Whatever it gets there, then okay, I'm going to be a little bit more. Yes, curb my expectations a little bit.
Just open the other guys' notifications. And then take profit. For example, MM Crypto, you know.
Bro, I'll tell you, what I'm looking forward to again, though, is being able to just be a complete permabull. You know, and that's what I'm hoping here by the end of the year that I will be able to be again. It's just, no matter what, once we've kind of reached that one capitulation wick sell-off that I'm looking for, and that it's a little bit further down as far as, you know, the year maturing and where we are in the happening cycle, like, I'm going to put back on that permeable cap for at least the next couple of years. That's where it's fun, because, you know, during that time frame, it really is just easy mode, where it's like, okay, you know, everything, it's basically up only for me at that point. I've stacked my longs. I'm going to continue to stack sats. And, you know, I'm just waiting for that next major move. Okay, we've got Nazim. You want to try to speak again? I'll give you one more chance, man. Let's see.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me okay now? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can.
My question is basically, you know, we see stock market is going down, and that is why Bitcoin was going down as well. So do you think like they are still correlated, or do you think it's not? What are your take on that? Because I think, as I've seen, as stock market is going down, Bitcoin price is going down. As stock market goes a little bit up, Bitcoin price goes up as well. So what are your thoughts? This is my first question. Second is, I am a developer myself, but I want to get into crypto development. So what are the best resources for me to just learn and grow myself? Thank you very much.
Okay, so I'll start off with the correlation question, because I think that's one we covered a little bit earlier, but I'm happy to talk about it a little bit again. You know, yeah, there is a level of correlation to the broader equities market, right? But at the same time, I don't think that correlation is always necessarily as strong as what people give it credit for. Sometimes within a range, you'll see a little bit more of a marriage to that price action, to that movement. But, you know, there have definitely been times that we've decoupled. And whether that's for the better or for the worse, I mean, 2020 is a real clear example, bouncing back from the COVID crash where BTC was delayed versus the S&P 500, the NASDAQ there. And later on in the year, I ended up having, you know, much stronger performance than the tech stocks. So, you know, like it's not always necessarily going to be a one-to-one correlation as much as everybody gives it credit for. But, you know, to a certain degree, I think that, you know, if equities are in a major bear market, major sell-off, you know, there's a bigger global risk-off type environment that, you know, like Bitcoin is going to feel the weight of that. And so I think it's important to pay attention to both, but at the same time, to understand that, you know, 1 + 1 in this market, you know, it's not always adding apples and apples. It's not always the exact same thing. There can be discrepancies in the price action of both. But as far as tools, man, dude, I'm not the right person. I'm not as I'm not a dev, I'm not the best person to ask in the room about that. There are amazing resources that I know on Twitter that you can track down and find, but you know, my biggest bit of encouragement with that is just continuing whatever you have the passion with, whatever you want to develop, plug into those communities, find the like-minded people and interact with them. And opportunities usually present themselves with somebody that spends enough time talking to other people that have that same interest and spending that amount of time. There's a lot to be said for building community, you know, and continuing to develop in that community. I think that whatever you're working on as far as development, whether you want a place as a developer on a project or whether you have your own project that you want to be successful, none of it's going to be successful without a solid community that you also need to spend time developing, which you can easily do on Twitter. Hopefully that helps a little bit, man. I'm sorry if it's not exactly what you were looking for.
FTX is killing it with the longs. Holy shit.
Hello, guys. Can you hear me?
All right, so Miss... Yeah, what's going on, Lehman?
Hello.
Don't long here, guys. Don't long here. Not a financial advice, but okay. Don't
First
long
of all,
here.
I want to...
Just wait for the breakout of 31 or 32K, then wait for the retest if you want to long it. But it's not time to long.
Collateral, you were just telling us short just a bit ago. How are you
doing? Man, I'm still in short.
$1,000 above the short entry.
Bro, your stop is too obvious.
My first entry is 3,800. My second entry is 31,450. Just waiting for 31,800. If 31,800
broken,
but I was
listening to you and I set my shorts for 30,600 at the beginning of the space.
Yeah, it's the first limit.
Bro, don't you think?
Yeah, FTX gonna catch your stops. Just wait.
Collateral.
I don't have stops. Don't you think? I don't have any stops. I'm just watching it manual. Stop.
Don't you think?
I'm just messing with you, man.
To not get hunted, you know, they
yeah,
always hunt.
That's what I was about to tell you. Don't you think your stop is too obvious about the previous high? I mean,
yeah, about the monthly open, previous high monthly open, yeah.
Yeah, you could have waited
but
for
it. I'm not going to stop it instantly, you know. I'm going to watch the price action, what happened, what is happening there, then I'm going to stop it.
Okay. I would have waited for a mini consolidation there and then a breakdown and short the retest maybe. But everyone...
Yeah, it's more guaranteed. Yeah, it's more guaranteed and more true play, but I think I can take this risk, you know, because I have some longs from the bottom.
Okay. So you're hedged.
Yeah, it's just for trying. It's just for assumption. I'm just trying my. Yeah.
So you win either way.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will stop that like 2%, but I have long for 8% or 10%, you know.
Okay. I wanted to speak to.
I won't lie, man. I'm completely lost as far as all of that, but I want to give a. I want to give Miss Space Cat an opportunity to speak. She's been patiently waiting in space. So what's going on?
Hi, Khalil. So I have a question, a really different question about CBDC. I want to know what are your thoughts about CBDCs, and do you think that central banks will launch digital bank currencies in the future?
Yeah, no, I think CBDCs are inevitable. And for those of you who don't know, it's a central bank digital currency is what CBDC stands for. I think that it's one of those things, again, where CBDCs can be launched and that they can, it's the same type of thing with fiat versus Bitcoin, where there can be, you know, synergies between the two, where because Bitcoin existing in its current state and crypto and existing in its current state, I don't think that that means that there needs to be a death of fiat. You know, I think that both have their place, and, you know, it'll be the same with CBDCs, where especially one of the things with CBDCs that, you know, like there's going to be a lot more regulation. It's not decentralized like what we have right now, right? So it is controlled by a central bank. And there will be a lot more, I think, lack of privacy as far as the consumer and the government within that. And, you know, I think there are, I don't know, it's one of those things where I do think that as CBDCs are adopted, even if their whole goal is to, okay, you don't need crypto, you need us, I think that it'll still open up room for development and, you know, quite a few more sectors within Web3. And that, you know, it again, it's one of those things that all because one exists doesn't mean that the other can't. So I don't know. Regardless of whether CBDCs are released or not, which again, I think they will be. I think that it's just a matter of time. I'm still bullish on Bitcoin. I mean, heck, again, I'm more bullish on Bitcoin even with their existence than I am without it.
Sorry to interrupt you, but did you see RSR? Can you please check RSR? What the fuck is that?
Holy fuck.
This is alt season for RSR, only RSR.
50% in 5 minutes? Holy fuck.
Okay. Yeah. Again, going back to it, man, that is what alt season looks like, but across, like, okay, if it were happening on RSR, and then if it were happening just across RSR, like 20 more shitcoins, you know, within the next couple of hours, within the next couple of days, like that's what an alt season looks like. You know, an alt season isn't just necessarily it by itself doing that.
Hello, I wanted to ask you a question. That way, I wanted to speak. If you can hear me,
yes, we can.
Yes,
sir. Okay. What's going on?
Okay, I have a pinned chart on my profile about Amazon Fractal from 2000, and my thinking was that they will try to pump S&P and Nasdaq till the midterms this autumn, and. Amazon in 2000 did a pretty similar price action as BTC, and I know you're a Fractal fan, and it did a triple top. Is anyone here who thinks a triple top may be possible for BTC this year?
Okay, you think that it's climbing back to the 70k range.
Yeah, I mean, it would follow the Amazon fractal from back in 2000. It's pinned to my profile if you have the time to check it.
Oh, but, my God. Did you see Unfi?
No, I haven't seen it, man. But I will say this. So I checked out the pinned tweet, man. I think that's possible. But at the same time, it's not something that I'm necessarily – I would love it. Because, again, anything that's that bullish, it's retest the all-time highs. I mean, heck, if we retest 70K, I don't think that we'd get a three-point top. I think it'd just go ahead and continue into price discovery faster. So I would love that. Like, you know, I'd love a divergence for the normal happening scheme and being able to get up to 70K and to 100K sooner. Again, like, it's not one of those things that I think people want to hear, but I think that I don't really see anything lining up as far as a driver to be able to get to that point.
Yeah, but that's the fact. That's the point. Everyone knows recession is coming. Everyone knows it's everything is going to zero. So when was the last time when everyone was right? I mean, it's everyone agrees that basically we're entering a recession, but maybe the midterm elections in the US have a meaning, because I don't think they will want to have elections with S&P and Nasdaq very low. I guess they'll try to pump it or at least keep it at a decent price until the elections.
I don't think the argument that all because, quote unquote, well, because first off, not everybody does think that, but second off, the whole argument for, well, you know, all because every single person thinks the exact same thing, that it can't happen. Yeah. I disagree with that, because it's, you know, each happening cycle that we've entered into after the happening, I think just about every single person has been bullish. Has bullish price action happened after? Yes.
Yeah, but
then after a certain amount of time, people get bearish, and does bearish price action happen? Yes.
You're right.
So but you know, it's one of those things where it's not, you know, it's easy to adopt that narrative whenever it doesn't happen. But the whole groupthink mentality, because every single person says something, you know, it won't happen, I think is a little bit of a ludicrous argument.
Okay, but at the same time, we didn't have a double top in the last cycles as well. So I don't know if we're going to repeat the last cycles exactly. Yeah. Like.
But I think that the macro was different also, like 1 year ago, for example, or macro implications were not the same. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm in Europe, you know, and the inflation here is fucking is killing, you know. I'm paying double from the gas that I was paying 6 months ago. And that little steps, it kills your dry power, you know? So that is at least in my case. So that flow of money is not the same at the moment. I think so. Huh?
You know, I was just saying that as an idea. I am 50% positioned for a triple top. I agree. I admit. But I also have like, I don't know, 40% cash to buy dips bottoms, but I just wanted to check this fractal with the god of fractals.
I mean, I would love it if that happens again. I'd love to be wrong here and to just see prices. Everything's more fun when the space is bullish, but I don't know, man. I personally don't see it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Crypto Hobo or Hobo. What's up, man?
Hey, sorry, I had to drop off the last time because I had a work call. So I guess I got a few things. One, how do you actually pronounce your name, Kaleo? I've heard I've heard your name pronounced several different ways.
Dude, I always say Kaleo. Kaleo. A lot of people say Kaleo, Kaleo, Kaleo. I say Kaleo.
Okay, cool. I'll try to remember that. I'll probably still botch it. But anyways, few questions. So one, I sort of assume you're a full-time trader. If that's true, when did you decide to become full-time? And also, how often are you using leverage when you trade? And are there any particular signals that you look for outside of just, you know, traditional TA?
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate all those questions. The leverage is something that I've honestly stepped away from with time, where I just, you know, I think that a couple things, mentalities to have, it's easier to have a higher risk tolerance when you're not necessarily playing with the same level of capital. And, you know, I think that as you grow and reach milestones, an important thing that you should do to be able to maintain your capital is to be a de-risk. You know, you don't need to take the same type of risk to get the same type of gains that you were seeing with a higher level of risk with leverage trading. But I'll say this, man, on the same note, I really, you know, there was a period where I think that eventually, you know, I hit some lucky streaks with leverage trading, but there was a long period of pain before that that ended up just seeing years of kind of grinding my wheels where the market was continuing higher and high conviction plays that I had kind of took off without me because I was so focused on the day-to-day price action and trying to, you know, master it on 10x leverage and absolutely blowing myself up. So especially in a bear market, man, where, again, where it's not on easy mode, I think that the safest thing for people to do here is to keep the leverage low if you're going to touch leverage at all. But I would say don't touch the leverage, you know, maintain.
It depends on your capital also, bro, I think.
Yeah, maintain your account at all costs and just slowly grow it, I think, is the, you know, there will be a time where you feel the need to put the foot on the gas again. Yeah. And but I don't think that we're there yet. So I think that capital preservation should be key. And if that's means just being patient and avoiding leverage for a while, like, please do it. If that means literally not touching any trades for a while, having cash in the bank and slowly DCAing in, do that as well. But at this moment in time, my biggest bit of advice to everybody is protect your capital. Stack sats, protect your capital, be patient. There will be another opportunity that the market gives later on down the road to be able to capitalize on massive green candles across the board. And you want to make sure that you have capital available at that point to be able to do it. So don't feel FOMO. You'll have time. You do have time. Be patient.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I actually rarely leverage trade myself. I usually, you know, kind of look for like really strong signals before I enter into a leverage trade. And, you know, it's probably like 10 times a year or something like that. Are there any signals that you kind of look for, like, for, you know, looking at, you know, stock futures or something like that, for example, if you were going to enter into a short position some evening or whatever, anything like that that you you typically look at?
Michael Saylor's tweets.
Yeah, no, Jim Cramer tweets.
Yep. Yeah, sorry to interrupt you, but
yeah, no, I just want to Jim Cramer tweet. Well, you can't say Michael Saylor tweets because Michael Saylor is bullish no matter what. So it's like if he tweets something bullish.
No.
You know, whether he tweets it higher or lower, how can you say that that's
whenever he tweets, just take profits. It doesn't matter bullish or bearish tweet. Just take profit from your longs.
Yep, the MicroStrategy buy tweet, that's when you know it's time to sell.
So now it's, we're counting MicroStrategy. You know, it's funny because there was a time where it didn't matter what MicroStrategy tweeted, everybody would buy on a MicroStrategy tweet. So it's just funny how the market evolves like that, where, you know, the heroes become the heroes of yesterday are the villains of tomorrow. But no, man, like, yeah, there are certain things like that. The Jim Cramer one has been scary accurate as far as the counter trade sentiment. But dude, I don't know. I'm a simple guy. I look for I've got levels that I'm watching. If it hits near that level, I don't want to be too greedy. I'm not looking for 100% accuracy. So I'm just looking to scale out as it approaches that target level and scale in same type of mentality. You know, it's not about perfect execution. It's about patient entries, patient exits.
Exactly. Well cool. Said, bro.
Thanks. I guess my other question was just around the, you know, are you full-time trader, and at what point did you make that decision to do so?
You know, something that was kind of almost forced on me back in the day where, you know, so I used to be an engineer, COVID hit, and I wasn't in a good spot, man, but I had a really fortunate run up with the market, and that run up coincided with the same time that I was, you know, out of work, and ended up just the opportunity ended up presenting itself to be able to just capitalize on that momentum. And I think that I never, it's one of those funny things, man, because those jobs that I had the opportunities for that were rugged out from underneath me as COVID hit, that I wanted really badly. And I was so pissed off at the world that I didn't get them because I felt like I deserved them. I would have never been where I am today on the trading side of things. And you know, with the account and the presence that I have, had it not been for, you know, having my back pushed against the wall and kind of having no other option but to figure it out. But, you know, on that same note, I don't want people to, you know, listen to that and say, well, man, I need to quit my job because that's the only thing holding me back from having the time.
No, that's so
to
wrong.
Be able to do that. Like, no, it's completely wrong. I wouldn't, yeah. You know, because there were definitely stressful periods as I was figuring that out. And I think that, you know, there is something to be said for security and something to be said for, and you know, I think honestly, a big part of what happened just was luck with the timing of the market where, you know, I was able to go on a lucky streak and was able to get to a position where, you know, I could make this sustainable, but you know, it's not a guaranteed going to work every single time for every single person type of roadmap. So I'm grateful for it, but I also enter it with a position of humility because I understand I am not perfect. And, you know, if the same thing happened 10 more times again, I'm not sure if I'd be able to do it, you know, more than a few times out of those 10. So I mean,
you can work a normal job, a regular job, and trade at the same time. You still have a time, you know? You don't have to quit your job and work as a trader, full-time trader, unless you get in, you be an expert or something like that. I used to work as a pilot for 4 or 5 years. I was trading at the same time, but last year I left my job and starting full-time trading after a lot of losses, after a lot of liquidation on my accounts. But right now I'm doing well, to be honest. But that's after like 4 or 3 years of trading and trying hard. But don't never quit your job and start full-time trading unless you expert it.
I was going to say leverage trading while having a job sounds kind of precarious, you know, just trying to like keep your cool and like maintain stuff and your mental state, but also like know that you're away from your computer. It depends on what kind of job you have, I guess, but.
Yeah, I don't see you do like leverage trading on the job. I don't see you doing well with your trades or with your job. I don't see you doing well with either in that case. And really actively trading shitcoins, it's the same thing. I remember when I first started trading shitcoins back in late summer of 2017, dude, I still got my shit done at work. But my productivity for what I was, you know, what everybody that I worked with was used to definitely dropped off the cliff. And I would get with an open work, open floor plan type of environment. And my bosses sat right behind me and they're like, dude, you've got to close the charts. You've got to open up Excel. And it was so tough to do. So I'm like, you don't understand how much money I have on the line and this and that. And like, this yeah. is going to happen if I close it. And I look back on those days. I'm like, man, you know, the smartest thing to do, again, would be to put myself in a position where I wasn't trading. I was just stacking and I didn't care as much about what was happening with the charts every single minute of every single day. And, you know, I think that's still the mentality the average person in here, if you can adopt that, you'll be more successful in the long run.
Bro, Unify up is up 800% right now.
Holy I saw that.
Yeah, holy, I was gonna say, what the fuck? Yeah, oh my god, I was
who's buying right
it
there
when it was at 18, now it's like 36.
I what accidentally found 35
right now.
Oh,
you want the irony?
Actually, I had a long on it and I closed it on break even because it wasn't moving this morning. Oh my god,
holy fuck.
Oh, what the God. Fuck? I would have 75x my money.
You missed
right now.
The lottery, bro. You missed the lottery.
I missed something amazing right now. What is this?
Oh my God, man. Just think how many people got liquidated with that move. Oh my God. Lots of people got liquidated.
Yeah, the short squeeze are getting pretty outrageous right now.
Yeah, everybody out.
The volume on Unify is 1.3 billion. Holy fuck.
Is there any news or something that we are missing? I don't know, mate. It's just not normal. RSR is like...
Let's RSR... stick to Bitcoin, guys.
Yeah.
Back to Bitcoin.
Bitcoin is accumulating.
Anton, what's up, man? You've got your hand up.
Hello again. You did not answer my question. I asked you if you do speak Greek. And secondly...
I said I didn't.
How did you write that on your profile? Because that's Greek, so you should know Greek, because I'm pretty sure you didn't use Google Translate, because if you do use Google Translate, that it will write something else. And my second question is, how you managed to build this Twitter account so big? You understand what I mean? So many followers and
Yeah, thank you. I'm happy to answer both, man. So first things first, as far as the Greek, and I study a little bit of Greek, but it's mainly just with concordance whenever I am, you know, reading the Bible and I'm like looking for a little bit more depth into some of the, you know, some of the language that I'm digging through. I like to look at a Greek-English concordance and kind of just compare some of those words to get a little bit more depth in the original, you know, originally written language. So that's my brief and very rudimentary understanding of Greek. And that's kind of where Kaleo came from, was a ministry I was involved with back in the day that used that whole message of, you know, basically calling out or bringing people alongside you. And I really liked it as far as the idea. Whenever I started this account, I was trying to think of, okay, what do I want my brand to be? And it wasn't, you know, it was a little bit of a double entendre because like, okay, Kaleo to call, because you can kind of say, okay, well, you're calling different, you know, things happening with the market. And I like that vision, but I also even more so like the whole thing where it's like calling out and bringing people alongside you to be able to join you in whatever journey that you're taking. And that was, you know, what I saw as far as the name for the account and why it is Greek rooted. So hopefully that answers that. But then growing the account. So man, it took a long time. It's been a hobby. It's never been something that I wanted to be something more than a hobby. And I, for years had, started in late 2017. I was kind of in the background of crypto Twitter on another personal account that was super small since early spring of 2017 before that. And then one day I was like, you know what? I want to be able to shitpost, but I don't want all my friends seeing me talking about crypto because I don't want to be that guy. So I had to create an anonymous account to be able to do it. And I saw everybody that was big had anonymous accounts back then. So it's just kind of the thing to do. And I created the Kaleo account. And, kind of just talked about things and, you know, survived through the bear market. And it wasn't until, you know, May of 2020, I started to pick up a little bit of traction. I knew some of the OG accounts that had blown up a little bit. So, you know, I knew some people that already had some higher levels of engagement. And then I had some really good streaks as far as some Bitcoin analysis. And the first time that I really got noticed from somebody that I thought was part of the in circle was Gainsey back in early June of 2017. So, or not 2017, 2020. So about 2 years ago now, where he noticed one of these fractals that I was keeping up with, and he basically gave me an FF, and that gave me, there were a lot of really high engagement, high follower count people that followed him that ended up following me after that. So my count went from like 8K to 15K. And then from there, man, just kind of rode that COVID wave higher as, you know, DeFi summer and everything else started up, and just was able to gain a lot of momentum, I think, building the account at the right time. And just slowly, you know, with time, as the number of participants in the market continued to grow, I think just continued to show up and, you know, give content. And I'm not sure why people followed me, but they did. And so, you know, I used to share some P&L screenshots back in the day, and I think that helped whenever I did. But yeah, man, it was just a matter of continuing to show up and continuing to grind. You know, I think doing something I love, and I think that authenticity really helped too.
Cheers. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And, you know, again, I think if anything stands out for that story to anybody here, the biggest message that I would say is two things. Like, you know, I think if you're doing it and if you're putting content out there purely because you want to grow your account and you want to do this or that, that's going to shine through, and that you're not going to get the type of reception that you want to see. So it's got to be something that, you know, you're doing out of a passion and something that you're just patient with. And, you know, eventually, if you continue to show up and you continue to put the work in, provide decent content, and, you know, I mean, hell, even half decent content, which I'm the example of, probably, I'm kidding, but not really, then, you know, you'll be able to resonate and connect with people. And that's the biggest thing, man. That's the biggest thing about any of this and why I do these spaces as well, because they're just an opportunity to connect. And that's my whole goal with my account, is to connect, bring people alongside, grow that community, and, you know, kind of go through this journey, you know, with more people than just myself on board.
You are doing great, man. Really, thank you for the opportunity.
I appreciate it, man. And yeah, that's why I love having new speakers up here a lot of the time too, just being able to connect with new people and, you know, get various insights on, you know, what other people are feeling across the market too, even if it's live on space, me having to, you know, get the market to liquidate them because they're short.
I'm not getting liquidated, don't worry.
Just wait, man. I'm about to summon like a 10K God candle. Five-second 10K God candle.
Oh, I will be long there, but the candle will not come today. I know. Did you see the Unify candle? Oh my God, they are losing money.
I won't lie, man. Like, I don't know. We'll see. It's still not reason to get too optimistically bullish yet. But first, yeah, I think breaking 32K, we're just sending straight up. It's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. I will be not shorting after 32K. I said that. Until 35K. I will try short 35K for the CME gap once more. Like 2-3% stop maybe. But I will definitely try to short the CME gap for a scalp short. The second short will be there in my second short, like.
Anton, what's up?
Hello again. Yes, I just want to thank you for the time, man. Appreciate that. I've got some work to do, so hopefully in the next one I'll be on time. So thank you very much.
And no, you're fine.
I'll see you soon, guys. Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
I appreciate you joining, man. And, you know, so a couple things that I'm going to do coming up here in the next week or two with these spaces, I want to get them a more set and regular time. So I'm going to work on figuring out exactly what time and what days. And I'm just going to do these, you know, probably 2 or 3 times a week, just at a set time. I think that's a lot easier. There are a lot of people that, you know, it'll make it easier to be able to tune in, join. And, you know, if you know exactly when it's going to be, I always had the opinion for a while where I was like, you know what? I like doing them randomly and doing them at various hours throughout the day, because it gives multiple people that may not get the opportunity otherwise to be able to join in. But if the spaces are recorded, you can always tune back later on.
It's really enjoying and a nice time, to be honest, in the space, in your space especially.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate guys like you hopping in and contributing to the conversation. Definitely makes it more worthwhile to me. I am about to wrap up today, though. Unfortunately, I only had a couple hours, but definitely wanted to get on here and just, you know, it's been a while since been able to talk through things. And, you know, I know a lot of people can go stir crazy whenever the market is just spinning its wheels at the same place, which it's done since 30K. You know, so we've been stuck there. And it's amazing because I, you know, again, I feel like I need to do these more often because I feel like every time we do it, we grind our way out of that boring place. And if the market dumps immediately after this, I'm going to hate myself. That's what it is. I mean, hell, if it dumps after this, I'm definitely going to do another space tomorrow to be able to send things back higher. I'm going to have to.
Or you kind of leave the space open and you sleep. It's okay.
Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah, that might be another option. It's just leave it running until it happens. But I feel like that'd be cheating the system. The system, somebody would know.
It
wouldn't work the same. But no, I appreciate everybody joining in. And want to give one more shout out to FTX US. Appreciate you guys sponsoring the space. You know, check them out. Pin tweet at the top of my profile too, if you haven't had the chance. Crypto, stocks, NFTs, all the above. Let's send it higher. Let's send BTC higher.
Let's go
manifest that bullish momentum after we wrap up today, and we'll get back to this here in the next couple of days.
See you, bro. I'm 1 minute candle.
See you, Kaleo. Thank you for the opportunity. Really appreciate
it. All right. Appreciate it, y'all.
Thank you all, everybody. Thank you all for listening and joining.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Kaleo, Bullish, Bitcoin, Shitcoins, and more. Recorded on Tuesday, June 7th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. If you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support.
When we blow through the dust, volcanoes erupt. No one ever guessed that the game would be tough. Keep it hands off when the play is a bust. Plain old and just, so we keep it on the one. Blast off on the two, help me see the three. Third eye open wide, checking out the scene. Razor beam focus, star scream jokers. Living off the fat of the people they approach. Tell me what happens when the land fights back. With the cliffs at our backs, make the last stand matter. No one ever planned for the famine on deck. We was walking all a wreck with a dead man swagger. Sitting in a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fatal man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. In a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next no one gave a shit till the drugs all dried up. Everybody died from a bad batch of Lysol, but it didn't matter. We was all hyped up when the pedal hit the metal. He just didn't have the right skill. Watched in the daytime till the night curfew. Rats in a cage till they make time to murk you. Got a little job that falls under my purview. We gotta get this mob away from the bird's view. Gotta find cover, wipe off the bird poop, right off the work while you try on the worst juice. Blinded by perps who try to reverse truth, slide like Fox News just trying to lie to you. Eating up the slop like a bunch of hungry vagrants. I can't wait for the day they lock us up in stasis. Mock up a basement, could call me resilient. Waiting for the internet to make me a billion. Then envision in the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion.
Imagine a world in which an old dying man's last dying wish is fulfilled.
Alexa, can you play that one C-Fi space where he clowned all the SafeMoon and XRP bag holders and then told everyone to buy Luna because it was going to 1,000?
I'm confused why we're not talking about the fact that you can easily like 300x your money on XRP. Like,
you know, son, I remember a time. Alexa, enough. I'm trying to reminisce now. I remember a time before Terra Spaces existed when things that were said on random Twitter spaces would just get lost to the proverbial black hole of time.
That's the best bet.
Why isn't Luna in wind turbines?
Hey, guys,
I'm reading all about these wind
guys,
turbines.
Do you mind if I explain Cardano a little bit? Because I've been in Cardano since like 2018 and I can give you a full breakdown.
Just when you thought it was safe to shill shitcoins.
Oh my god, you guys, I don't know what to do. So much blood. It's so red.
From the creators of Your Exit Liquidity, in association with We All Love to Hear Ourselves Talk, Inc. For more information, go to terraspaces.org/donate.